Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This podcast is about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are sort of experts in the field, considering that we wrote the first and thus far only book about the similarities between Donald Trump and Vince McMahon. The title of that book is The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Professional Wrestling. You can find that and some of the writing that we've done for The Washington Post and Slate, U.S. News and World Reports, Vice, and other establishments at presidentwrestler.com. This episode was recorded during the first week of August of 2016. It is currently the tail end of 2017, and if you told somebody in August of 2016 that this would be going on, they would not believe you. It's a little interesting to hear back these old episodes and to put it into context for now. If you're looking for some current episodes of The Great American Bash, visit our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/GABPod, short for Great American Bash Pod. Without further ado, here is episode 6 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may be a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are recording in the great not city, great not state, great state. We are recording in Washington, D.C., home of the White House, Vince McMahon Sr.'s former home, potential future home for potential President Donald Trump.
But probably not.
Probably not. After this week, we are recording this on Wednesday, August 3rd. It's about 5, it's a little after 5 p.m.
So if something else could happen in the 12 to 15 hours between when this is recorded and when it comes out.
We already know that John Cena is going to be on Stephen Colbert's show tonight, and we know that Colbert is becoming more old-school Colbert.
Yes.
So he's definitely going to talk about Trump tonight. So, sadly, that is left out. We'll probably get to that next time. But actually, no, that's a lie. We probably won't get to it next time.
It'll
because
just get
so
lost.
Much crazy shit has happened in the past 7 days since we recorded
this
last.
Actually, 72 hours. I mean, or even maybe a little more, maybe 96, but it's been basically since Sunday.
Yeah.
Donald Trump has been in a, you know, either a tailspin.
He's in a tailspin.
Yeah.
He's got to be in a tailspin.
It could potentially be like the image of in my head is Sound of Music just spinning with his arms in a meadow. That's the more positive take on it.
Sure, sure.
He's having a hell of a time. So we can do a couple quick hits, and then we get some bigger piles that he's stepped in. He started off on Sunday on with
George
Stephanopoulos. Yes.
Yeah.
He's not going into Ukraine, okay? Just so you understand. He's not going to go into Ukraine. All right, you can mark it down, you can put it down, you can take it anywhere.
Well, he's already
you want.
There, isn't he?
Okay. Well, he's there in a certain way, but I'm not there. You have Obama there. And frankly, that whole part of the world is a mess under Obama with all the strength that you're talking about and all of the power of NATO and all of this. In the meantime, he's going away. He takes Crimea. He's sort of, I mean.
But you said you might recognize that.
I'm going to take a look at it. But, you know, the people of Crimea, from what I've heard, would rather be with Russia than where they were.
He later clarified they won't go like further into it if he's president.
Yeah.
So we're all buying that. Sexual harassment. When asked if his daughter Ivanka was subject to sexual harassment, he said, I'd like to think she would find another career, find another company if that was the case. His son, Eric, doubled down that,
you know, Ivanka is a strong, you know, powerful woman. She wouldn't allow herself to be, you know, objected, you know, to it. And by the way, you should certainly take it up with human resources. And I think, you know, she definitely right. would as a strong person. At the same time, I don't think she would allow herself to be subjected to that. And I think that's the point he was making. And I think he did so well.
It's a really interesting case of victim blaming. I don't have a wrestling analog here, but I have Cameron being interviewed by Anderson Cooper when asked about, you know, the stop snitching stuff. This was maybe about 10 years ago. And he was asked, I'm paraphrasing, something like, if a serial killer moved next door, would you call the cops? And Cameron said, I'd move. So that's kind of the Cameron
school. I think
here.
You could just say all of the Attitude Era and most of Ruthless Aggression and the way women were handled in WWE and WWF.
Oh, would that be sexual harassment?
It's a pretty good comparison. And then the answer is, why don't you go somewhere else? I don't know. Why aren't there unions? why don't you go wrestle for TNA? You know, it's the same amount of eyes. No, we're just going to harass
the company
you.
That's literally called TNA.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea. So the biggest story in the last 72 to 96 hours has been Trump's continued attacks of Kazir and Ghazala Khan, the Gold Star parents of a fallen soldier who died in 2004.
So they spoke on Thursday night at the Democratic National Convention, and if you only paid attention to the DNC, they were in the top five, but they were not on the main card. The main card that night was Chelsea and Hillary.
Right.
This was not supposed to be a huge deal. All of a sudden, this is the big deal. About a week later, they're the reason why we're starting to see the downfall of the Donald Trump presidency.
Right, because he definitely has touched a third rail where you don't disparage. But it's been like a flashpoint for all the things. Like, cause he's got his Muslim stuff.
Absolutely.
He's got his veteran stuff. He's attacked American heroes before. He has said to their claims that he has sacrificed nothing and no one.
I think I've made a lot of sacrifices. I work very, very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs, built great structures. I've had tremendous success.
Shot at the wife saying,
if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say. You tell me, but plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet. And it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that. And personally, I watched him. I wish him the best of luck.
Doesn't that kind of remind you of when Vince had Linda, I guess, hypnotized or whatever during the Trish
show? No, didn't she have a stroke?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
She only came back later to walk out of her.
And then kick him in the dick.
Right in the dick. And then he's tried to pivot on Twitter that the story is not about Mr. Khan, but rather all caps radical Islamic terrorism and the U.S., Get Smart, which is, I think, better than the sad rejoinder he's been using, because I can just think Maxwell Smart and like him talking into a shoe.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. His national spokesperson also flamed out on this one, Katrina Pearson.
It was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that changed the rules of engagements that probably cost his life.
He died in 2004 when Barack Obama was a state senator and Hillary Clinton was a senator, so they weren't really in charge of the rules of engagement at that point. That was the other guy, I think.
2004 was also the year The Undertaker faced ISIS. Is that correct?
Yes, that would be okay. Correct. And this whole thing, you know, while that might seem like the comparison, the last time the WWE stepped in it in regards to Islam and terrorism, this is actually a lot closer to kind of using dead people to get heat. There's a couple notable examples. Year after Eddie Guerrero died, Rey Mysterio was in a feud with Randy Orton, and Randy Orton told him that
Eddie ain't in heaven. Eddie's down there in hell.
Which was pretty great. Only to be topped by the more recent one where Paige, in kind of a garbage feud with Charlotte.
Was this NXT or was this main roster?
This is main roster.
Okay.
Yeah, it's earlier, either late last year or early this year. It's been a blur. But she had
before or after her poppy tattoo?
Before.
Okay.
Yeah. Before she ruined her career for Alberto Del Rio, where she made reference to Reed Flair, Charlotte's brother who died of a drug overdose, Ric Flair's son.
You know what, Charlotte? You're wrong, sweetheart. Because your little baby brother, he didn't have much fight in him, did he?
Oh, come on.
And then they kind of swept on the rug because I think they knew they went too far.
I went a little bit too far with that one. And the interesting thing is you can go pretty far with the Flairs. Anyone that watched Monday Night Raw this week saw one of my favorite all-time in-ring interactions on mic is when Sasha referenced One Night Stands, and that's pretty much the only reason why Charlotte's even here.
Yeah, that was one of her best one-liners that Sasha's had.
My favorite death heat is clearly CM Punk Undertaker. Using the very recent death of Paul Bearer, dressing up Paul Heyman as Paul Bearer, sprinkling ashes on a man who is playing the role of death. That's pretty good. The difference is those are characters.
Yes.
And
the Khan's son was
a human being.
Yes.
And that's bad.
Yeah. So the kind of messing with the military thing has continued as Trump was given a Purple Heart. And he kind of shrugged it off.
I always wanted to get the Purple Heart. This was much easier.
This is where we're getting to the point where it's just, like, this. Some of this stuff, as we'll see, is, like, it's just getting heat. Like,
oh,
There's no, you have to almost laugh at it because, of course, that's a horrible thing to say. It doesn't have any policy implications other than he's a horrible person, right? Or he's playing a horrible person. We also found out Joe Scarborough, who he's been feuding with, even though they were formerly friends, told the former CIA director Michael Hayden that in a meeting with his national security advisors, that he said three times he asked about the use of nuclear weapons. At one point, if we have them, why can't we use them? Three times in an hour. Why can't we use nuclear weapons? So that's where it crosses the line and say, like, oh, this actually would be bad.
Is there a wrestling equivalent?
This is the part where I'm like, why are we doing this podcast? Why aren't we? But, you know, but we got more to show you why it's going to be okay, everybody.
Okay, really quick. Was Sergeant Slaughter ever a real sergeant?
In the military?
In the military.
I don't believe so.
So what's worse, Sergeant Slaughter becoming Iraqi sympathizer or Donald Trump accepting a Purple Heart while never serving?
Oh, man.
See?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
There you go.
To think about that.
We're in WrestleMania 7 areas right now. It's like, why did they downsize from that giant arena? Oh, because they could barely sell out the LA Coliseum. That's why.
And that's where we're at in this with 97 days to go. And as we're coming in the final stretch, you know, there's been, you know, this is some of this stuff, the Khan thing especially, has put Republicans on the line of how do you endorse this man for president? Mm-hmm. And President Obama came out and encouraged Republicans to step away. And instead of the party line for the establishment has generally been like, well, I don't agree with his words, but he's our guy.
Yeah.
And he's really boxed them in because not only is the president now calling for them to unendorse him, which they can't do because then it looks like they're listening to Barack Obama, which, as we've seen, they shouldn't do that. He also has Trump has pulled back his support, echoing Paul Ryan's line and saying he's just not quite there yet on an endorsement.
Which is pretty great.
Which is pretty great because now they look petty if they pull their if Paul Ryan, John McCain, Kelly Ayotte, if they pull their support, they look like it's.
I mean, that's a classic wrestling trope, using someone else's words against them.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah, just right back in your face. I mean, we saw that was on SmackDown last night. Dolph Ziggler versus Dean Ambrose. Dolph Ziggler says he is that damn good. And Bray Wyatt came out and said, face me and we'll see if you're that damn good. Ambrose said, you're not as good as you think you are. So using someone's words, I mean, that's just a great rhetorical strategy in politics or wrestling. You know, this Virginia rally where a lot of this stuff happened the other day, he also said that when he viewed Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the capital of a battleground state that he needs to win, much like a match at Battleground, that it looked like a war zone where you once had these massive plants. Well, you know, that the view from his private plane. It didn't look like war zone the second hour of Monday Night Raw in the late 90s. I'm assuming just like it looks bombed out. But that's probably not how to win one of his must-win states.
Once again, if you listen to the last episode, thank you very much. And a big part of that was my experience attending the RNC at the DNC counter-programming at the former ECW arena.
ECW.
This is the same. This is insane.
Yeah.
By the way, we're completely laughing at this because if you look at the if you're a Trump fan, I apologize because right now it's looking really bad for you. And as of today's recording, Trump has a 31.9% chance of winning, according to 538. So we're once again pre-convention levels of possibility of Trump becoming president. So usually there's a convention bump and that stays for a bit. That's already been negated.
Right.
There is no, if you were a supporter of him, I apologize. I do not mean to be laughing, but I definitely love the idea that he's referencing the second hour of Raw in a campaign appearance in Virginia about Pennsylvania.
And the great thing is that's not even the best headline from the Ashburn, Virginia rally, where there was a crying baby, where he first seemed to support the baby
and then he actually got like, pretty good cheers when he supported the baby. It was like, what a cute family, man. That was the one takeaway from the RNC, that no Democrat or opponent of Trump could say he's not a good dad. He clearly loves his family.
Sure.
So you'd think he clearly loves children.
Well, you'd be wrong.
Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here. That's all right. Don't worry. I think she really believed me that I love having a baby crying while I'm speaking. That's okay. People don't understand. But that's okay.
So the closest analog on this, while Brandon regains his composure, There's a couple great examples that came to mind. I mean, the historic one that's great is Million Dollar Man paying a small child to dribble a basketball and at the last second putting his foot in the way.
13, 14, oops! Oh! We didn't get to 15, Sean. You didn't get to 15, did you? No. He didn't make 15. And you know what that means? What that means, Sean, is you've got to learn a hard, cruel fact of life. When you don't do the job right, you don't get paid.
Also, a more recent example, in NXT at the first women's Iron Man match, or Iron Woman, where Sasha Banks taunted her opponent's superfan, made her actually cry, which is just amazing heel work.
Bayley is the wrestler. Izzy is the super fan. Really quick, we would like to point out that wrestling is never so callous to actually kick a baby out. They'll just go as young as, I'd say, 6 years old, 8 years old.
Yeah, if you can wear Cena wristbands, they can make fun of you, which is what happened also a few years ago where Triple H, it's good to note that the Sasha Banks thing, I mean, these are characters. They are heels, but they're playing them on TV. After the Iron Woman match, she gave her ceremonial flowers to Izzy. Kind of, it's similar to Triple H a few years ago, working heel as his corporate persona, told a kid, like a kid was booing him or something in the front row, and he told him to shut up, like, I'm trying to do my job, just healing. Made the kid cry. But he actually broke character while they were taping and went over and consoled the kid, because, once again, a family man, three kids. Like,
yeah.
There is a line even in wrestling.
I mean, the WWE's gotten really good at this, or bad, if you really love heels, considering Connor's cure. The main storyline at WrestleMania 30 was Daniel Bryan, but one of the reasons why that really went over is because there was a young boy dying of cancer in the front row, and he was a big part of that programming, and he definitely changed the landscape of that WrestleMania and all future WrestleManias. Now there's a whole statue and an honor for him called Connor's Cure. And he let Triple H let him body slam him and stuff like that, and Triple H was the main villain against our main hero. The WWE as an organization understands the difference between actually kicking a baby out of a rally and pretend to kicking a baby out of a rally.
There is a fine but wonderful line right there.
That's so... But part of me is like, all right, that's pretty great. I gotta love that.
There's, once again, no policy implication other than like, horrible... Well, actually, I will say this. And, you know, there is that undercurrent of, like, if you want to look at it seriously, which is it's not that tough, but that... the misogyny of, like, women with children can't be in public spaces.
For sure.
They have to be silenced. You know, so there is, like, a real...
Yeah, but that's not fun. Let's talk about the J case.
Sure. Also, as we're, wrapping up the last few days where it looks like there's going to be some secret meetings to try to get Trump back in.
Secret meetings involving Rudy Giuliani. He's going to be the one that saves the party. He's the name that's being floated. Once again, I saw him in person last week. Much scarier than what everyone saw on stage at the RNC. He's a frightening human being.
Yes, and Paul Manafort, basically running the campaign right now, allegedly an ally of his, said that Manafort is not challenging Trump anymore. He's mailing it in. Staff is suicidal. The comparison you brought up was, is this the last days of WCW?
It has to be, right?
It's a lot. There's a lot of a millionaire or a billionaire's money is being spent willfully. There's a lot of people going into business for themselves. Creative is bad. Yeah.
It's got to be. I mean, we've crossed over. I think you win the primaries, Monday Night Wars are over. You've won. But now who do you fight? You can't just fight the world.
Yeah. Which is what he's trying to do.
You can't do that. I mean, you can. You'll lose. And he's clearly, based on the polls, he's losing.
Right.
And it's so clear what he needs to do.
Which is?
The opposite. Just literally do the opposite.
Just stop. Do the opposite. Or you could do what his new tact is, which he has been laying the groundwork. There have been some speculation about this for maybe a month or so now, where he is now coming out and saying, in November, this election is going to be rigged. He's been talking about voter fraud and kind of setting the groundwork to say if and when he loses, well, it was rigged. Who knows if at that point Republicans will be able to just kind of, put the election all on his shoulders. That could be why they're in a holding pattern.
And if you watched the convention, it's pretty clear based on the attendance record and based on what people like Paul Ryan said, we're going to not concede this one. We're going to show up. We're going to put on the uniform. We're going to lace up those boots, but
we're going to take the paycheck and get squashed.
Yeah. This is Hogan Shawn Michaels all over
just
again.
Flopping around the ring. That's a good one, too. It's a little close to the Braun Strowman squash matches they've been having on Raw recently, too.
But those are fun.
Those are fun. Do you like Braun Strowman's death metal theme? Have you heard it?
I don't love it, but I don't love his character. There's no character. That's the problem. Yeah. He was a big, strong man. I don't care.
His name is Braun Strongman, basically.
Everyone knows that if you're a 33-year-old smark, you have to love Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens would not be cool with this. These guys aren't fat enough for me to relate.
Yeah, you need that's why they need to be relatable guys, relatable fat slobs. So in the same day, literally, that Trump was saying that the election is rigged, we can go to our friends at Monday Night Raw, where Bulgarian brute Russian hero Rusev was saying that
the only reason why America wins at the Olympic Games is because they're rigged.
This is amazing. The fact that that just worked out. Clearly, Rusev was going to do that promo because of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And that was inevitable. And clearly, they're going to push Rusev right now because he just got married to Lana. And their wedding was part of Total Divas. Why do I know any of this? Jesus Christ. But it makes sense. It's more important than anything that the Cruz campaign did. Because once again, Donald Trump is the nominee for... Anyways, that's just a little bitter thing. Listen to episode 3. Okay, so... It's like a comic book, remember? Like, they'd be like, read
the editor.
X-Men 47 to make sure. Really quick aside, did you notice that the two guys that have belts, the two guys that are married and that have valet / manager / whatever it's called when your partner is in the ring, and they used to wrestle and kind of wrestle, but not exactly like a Miss Elizabeth, they're villains? The two married men with supportive spouses are villains.
Yeah. The assault on traditional marriage.
Yeah, Rusev and The Miz, who have lovely marriages with people they genuinely love. Get those mean guys out of here.
And they're trapped in the mid-card. This isn't sending a good message
what
to the Parents
hell,
Television
guys?
Council. I'll tell you that much. And on a quick wrestling note, too, Rusev's new challenger is Roman Reigns. When he started ragging on the Olympics, he had just beaten Mark Henry and... You know, an actual Olympic grade world's strongest man.
By the way, when he says world's strongest man, Chris is being accurate here. He's won 3 different competitions that no one's ever done, and he could legitimately rip apart a frying pan, which he did on Raw once. Just cause.
He also, as like a party gag, he can like bend, he can kind of make like a fork into a rose type of thing.
Yeah.
So he's done that for like for Bill Clinton once.
He's a legit. Did he really?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it. I have to see if that was actually at the White House or not.
He's a legitimate strong man. He is legitimately the world's strongest
man.
And
I will put this in we should put this in the notes. There's a really great interview from like the 90s in Sports Illustrated about his legitimate accomplishments in
But the good thing about the way they're scripting this specific feud is like, well, they have him tap out in ways that like, oh, because he's so big, he can't maneuver as well. Like, so when he loses, it makes some sense.
Right.
At least not, to someone like Rusev.
Yeah, and he's not bending backwards in the accolade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
But his new opponent is going to be our Hillary Clinton stand-in, Roman Reigns, which this is kind of a... You know, a classic wrestling thing of, like, you get someone over, you have them go against the most anti-American guy. Because, like, you can boo Roman Reigns, the character, because you don't like him or you think he's getting pushed. But it's tough to boo America for wrestling fans. Like, especially when you're there in the mode. Like, you have to boo.
You have
to play along and boo the anti-American.
And this specific episode was recorded at the home of the Olympics, 1996's Olympics, Atlanta, Georgia. Pretty American city.
And judging by some of the crowd reports, pretty stereotypical wrestling fans and their reactions to, say, the New Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was pretty
bad.
Oh, no. You know, and as far as the anti-American, the pro-American gimmicks go, came across a new shoot interview this week with Zeb Coulter.
Really quick, for the political person that doesn't understand wrestling terms, what's a shoot?
A shoot would be real, and work is fake.
Okay. So, a shoot promo, in other words, a real interview.
Yes, so a real interview. With Zeb Coulter, who was the manager of Jack Swagger and Cesaro when they were the Real Americans, where they would come out and say, "We the People," and they were basically a parody of the the then nascent Tea Party movement. They got into a feud with Glenn Beck.
And in real life, they got into a feud with Glenn Beck.
Yes.
And they cut a shoot promo about how they play characters.
Yeah, and we can link that too because it starts off as one of their standard promos, and then halfway through, they switch their green screen and break kayfabe. They break character.
Hey, Glenn Beck. What you just saw is what we call a promo. It's a scene we record to elicit a positive or negative reaction from our fans. See, we are entertainers.
My name is Jake Hager.
And I'm Wayne Cowan. We are performers for WWE. Zeb Coulter is the character I play. Jack Swagger is the character Jake plays. We aren't in the political business or the immigration business. We are in the entertainment business.
To challenge him and go, this is acting, you dummy, you stupid idiot.
So WrestleMania 29, which was introduced by Chris Christie. Chris Christie was on stage multiple times that night. This was the first major wrestling event after Sandy, Superstorm Sandy. That was also the night Donald Trump was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Jack Swagger fought Alberto Del Rio that night.
Yes, and Jack Swagger, the American, was the villain, and Alberto Del Rio, the Mexican wrestler, was the hero. The real American gimmick has a strong resemblance to the Trump platform. It was it was anti-immigrant, anti-brown people, and that's why they were heels. But apparently, Trump backstage had said to Zeb,
and then he saw me and he came over. And he put his hand out like this, and he said, fantastic, fantastic. I loved your interview. And then he walked away. But what he did, he watched it, and he basically took We the People and is using it today. And he just stole the gimmick. Gimmick infringement.
He's going to be taken up in wrestler's court. You know, something we talked about extensively in the first episode, the wrestling having this pop culture moment, largely on the back of John Cena. John Cena has added Teen Choice Award host to his growing resume.
Yes.
And
unlike the ESPYs, I did not finish this one.
No, I don't think this was meant for us.
No.
We're not teens.
Good.
I'm
really glad that I did not connect at all.
No, yes. The Teen Choice Awards, where he did one segment in drag as Hillary Clinton with his co-host Victoria Justice as Trump.
Pantsuit, it's huge. Huge.
Nice head badger. It's ridiculous.
Also, the theme music, because the first music they played on this show was Flo Rida's My House, also the theme song to WrestleMania Star.
Oh boy. Yes. Every wrestling fan heard that
so
ad nauseum.
Do you know how many times I hear My House in Ubers? Because it's still on the radio.
Oh, God.
And I've heard it so many times. It's in my
head
forever.
Part of me is like, good for you, Flo Rida.
He's doing
good
all
for
right.
You.
Yeah, you know, and I think the Teen Choice Awards might be a work. Because John Cena lost Best Male Athlete to Steph Curry. That's fine. But the Bella Twins, they beat for Best Female Athletes, they beat Serena Williams and Ronda Rousey. And I know Rousey's had a tough year. But Serena, I mean, come on.
Well, maybe if it was Serena and Venus, because the twins, there's twin magic.
Twin magic,
twin power.
Yeah. Sister magic, yeah. Considering one of them is retired and one of them is trying to recover from debilitating neck surgery, that's a tough pill to swallow.
It's that lemonade appearance, man. People don't like that lemonade appearance. It's not
people love the lemonade.
It's
appearance.
Not it's not teen choice friendly. It's too adult.
Lick my balls, pause. You know, we also had another wrestling and political moment here as Rhino, not his real name, and I didn't bother putting his real name in the thing. We apparently have it.
Yeah, I printed another article about Rhino.
You mean this one? WWE professional wrestler Rhino wins 15th District Michigan State House Republican primary race. Terrence, quote-unquote, Rhino Guerin, he won a Republican primary.
When was the primary?
The same night of SmackDown. Where he gored, you know, speared, tackled Heath Slater. Always want to say Heath Ledger. That would be tougher to do. So he's the only person.
Continue.
Yeah, the only person, I think, to gore an opponent and win a primary on the same night.
I'm 90% sure he didn't say anything either.
No.
I think Heath was talking to Daniel Bryan. Rhino gores
Yeah. He said, who's my opponent? And he goes, is it this guy? And he goes, well, and then he's gored. And he goes, it's Rhino. And then Rhino looks like a maniac because Rhino is, I'm trying to describe him right.
He's like, ECW, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was an ECW original. He's been, they brought him into NXT last year or so to kind of be enhancement talent, put over their younger kids. And now they need bodies because of the brand split. So he's going to probably be on SmackDown, but maybe not now. But he's come out 2 weeks in a row and gored Heath Slater, which has been a lot of fun.
This was in Nashville. So he maybe campaigned that day
right.
in Michigan.
And then flew to Nashville.
To gore someone that's not even technically part of the roster.
Right. And the great thing is, too, is that Michigan is a full-time paid state legislature. It's not one of the part-time states. I mean, it's a $70,000 gig. So, you know, maybe Heath Slater actually gets that contract after all.
This is insane. The fact that this hasn't garnered more attention is, to me, it's a little insane.
That a wrestler is in the Michigan State House?
Yeah,
it's also Rhino. It's also like, even wrestling fans had to be like, wait, who? Oh, the washing machine with greasy hair and a unitard, that guy?
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, Michigan.
Ryback's dad, Rhino.
He's in the DNA there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, whether or not Rhino will be at the next big pay-per-view at SummerSlam has yet to be seen. SummerSlam brought to you by KFC.
Yeah, I think I'm the first person to notice this, for better or worse. That says something about my head right now. The night that Donald Trump tweeted out a photo of him eating a bucket of KFC on his plane with a fork and a knife was the night that I realized, oh yeah, KFC is one of the official sponsors for SummerSlam.
Yeah, so KFC is official sponsor of SummerSlam and Donald Trump.
I tweeted that out and someone was like, I'm like, why didn't you at least get Popeyes? Like, KFC's the worst of the mainstream chicken places. And the guy's like, there wasn't one nearby. It's a fucking plane!
Yeah, it's a private plane. You can go fly over war zones. You can fly over Popeyes. I think we can make this happen.
There's so much here, and I know we're leaving so much out. In the last, like, 20 minutes, there's been stuff that's happened.
Yeah, the other thing I saw right before we came, we were talking about the endorsements. I didn't get to work that in, that Pence has vice presidential candidate Mike Pence has endorsed Paul Ryan, trying to give some leeway there.
Yeah. You got something?
Oh, no, I was just seeing we're getting breaking news, but no. unfortunately, there are other things than wrestling and politics.
All right, so what should people be paying attention to in the next 7 days besides this insanity?
Let's see how those secret meetings go. I mean, this is the first week we've been saying, you've been saying, especially since he took on the Pope, and one, that none of this stuff, I mean, he's Teflon Don.
He is, but I am so surprised that the con stuff is actually sticking. He took on the fucking Pope,
yeah.
And it was fine.
Yeah, like,
that was
in
the
scheme
February.
Of things, it's the Pope versus
he
the
was
soldiers.
In, like, the primaries had just begun. He had not locked down the nomination yet, and he took on the Pope and won. How?
Yeah, that's where we are. About 97 days to go. I'm sure in the next 72 hours we'll have a lot more stuff, and this will all seem, you know, like a dream, like an American dream.